Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
On this second Sunday in Ordinary Time, we welcome you to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning. I'm Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you today?
Very good, Jesse. How are you doing?
Glad to see you. Glad to be here with you as we reflect on the gospel for this Sunday, according to John. We will hear that from you now.
Right. So this is the second Sunday of Ordinary Time. As you know, we finished the Christmas season, and this period of time now before Lent and Easter is still ordinary time. So this is the second Sunday of that ordinary season. So the reading is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remained upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testify that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Images and words that come right out at us. I think the one phrase that struck me that John says is, "I did not know him, but he existed before me." I think that for the average reader, that kind of is a little bit of a startling statement there from John as he paves the way for Jesus.
Yeah. Well, it's a good observation. I think I did not know him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just in a rhetorical kind of sense, we might ask, who do we know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, our knowledge of people, even in today, is somewhat superficial.
Right.
We may see what job they have or, you know, where they live, and we say we know them, but we really don't. And I think even with John's interactions, obviously, with Jesus prior to this moment, he knew him, but it was only after his baptism and after he sees the dove descend upon Jesus, the Holy Spirit come upon him, does he really recognize and know him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important even for us as we begin this new year of 2023 with the new liturgical year and asking ourselves, do we really know Jesus? We know perhaps a lot about him. We can say that we've had many years of our Christian life, our Catholic life, but do we know him? And that takes a lot of courage to say, not as I should know him. And that's in some ways why we do these programs reflecting on the scriptures, because it's important that the Word of God enter into us and help us recognize the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. I wanted to refer back also, for those who see all the readings for today, the prophet Isaiah said in a prophecy that the Lord said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant in the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him, and Israel gathered to him. And I made him glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength." So this understanding of Isaiah being another one who is pointing to, and of course the Old Testament, the prophets are always pointing to Jesus Christ. That's why we cannot leave ourselves with just the knowledge of the prophets, but that they're pointing to a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is Jesus Christ. That person is the one who shows us the way to the Father and the glory of God. And so John the Baptist picks up from a heritage of prophetic voices throughout the scriptures, pointing to Jesus. And of course, in a way that he says, when I've seen him, that I saw the Spirit come down upon him like a dove from heaven and remained upon him. So he's speaking with quite a bit of certainty and witness of his own faith, but in a line of those prophets who are destined by God to point to the Savior. He is in that final line that says, "Here he is, right here in front of you."
John is in the unique position of following along the lines of Isaiah, being another one who they asked him, "Are you the one?" And he said, "No one is coming after me." Right. But he gets to be in that unique position to, "Here he is, and I baptize him," and he has that connection, and he brings Jesus, brings the attention to Jesus after all of those, that long line of prophets. And historically, you're talking about so much time between the time Isaiah said it to the time that John recognizes Jesus.
Yeah, and I think that's another good point, that sometimes we can become so convinced that we know him so well that we almost become the Messiah ourselves. We have to be careful that we don't attract people to ourselves, but that we are only conduits of the grace of God, of the Word of God, to point people to Jesus Christ, not to point them to ourselves, or not to attract people even to our own way of thinking or our own
agenda, if you will.
Agenda, yeah, exactly. Even with the, you know, prayer group, in the sense, like, I've got it, you know, so come to my prayer group or this. But it's always to, even if they do, or even if we have a prayer group, it's always that Jesus Christ is the center of our praying together, of our worshiping together. And that's why the Eucharist is so important to us. At the Eucharist, we hear the Word of God, and we celebrate the greatest act of love in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross through the Eucharist. And so it's always about Jesus being at the center, and the one who has baptized us in the Holy Spirit, has baptized us for God, and that we always, our own lives, point to him and not to ourselves.
What you said kind of also made me think about how John understood his role. He didn't have his own agenda, like you said. His role was to, here's Jesus, he's the one that I'm not even worthy to unfasten his sandals, but he's going to be the one that you're waiting for. And having that kind of humility, having that kind of vision, but also doing it in a way that doesn't draw attention to himself. Right. Like you said, you get into these other situations like prayer groups and things like that, and you lose sight of how that distinction needs to be made.
Right. Certainly, prayer groups are very important for our life. It's not just our own personal prayer, but praying together. But that sense of humility, you know, it's there's sometimes it happens where, you know, if you're not part of this or you're not part of that, then you're less.
Right.
No, that's not humility. We're here to serve each other. And so humility has always got to be, must be at the real focus of our life and the way that we minister. We don't minister for ourselves or for, like you said, an ideology or a certain way of thinking. But we, you know, if we're going to be like John, pointing to Jesus, humility is at the focus of that, in the sense that humility is, I am who I am and I'm nothing more.
Right.
I'm nothing less, but I'm nothing more. John and any prophet in this sense understands who they are. They do have a mission. They have an incredible mission to bring Jesus to the light, but they don't go beyond that. John says, I'm not the light.
Admits that to everyone.
He admits that, and that's where his humility is. He's not less. He says, I've been sent, understanding that I've been sent to point to, but I'm not him.
Right.
I'm not he. So that's humility. I'm not less and I'm not more than what I've been asked to do and who I am in the Lord Jesus. So that's extremely important. And I think that's the foundation of all relationships. The relationship of John was a relationship of revealing. And in our own life and family and workplace, it's to be who I am. You work with me and for me in a sense, and I'm here to serve. And so we understand who we are.
Right.
But we don't go beyond that. You know, I have no power over you. You have no power over me. But I mean, we work as friends, as mm-hmm. brothers, in different positions and roles.
Right.
And I think that's what John and Jesus represent, but also in all of our relationships in life, that we are no less than we are, but we're no more.
And I think that goes back to what we said about the humility, that infuses humility with a sense of integrity or a sense of honesty, a sense of I have an accountability to you, we have accountability to one another. Yeah. At the same time, we do it in a way that's loving. It's not meant to be, yeah. you know, heavy-handed or anything like that, which I yeah. think people tend to be drawn to that kind of approach, I think. Yeah. And they may not always be that aware that it's going on when it's happening, but then they go, I really enjoyed my interaction, or I really got something from that encounter with that person. Mm-hmm. And that leads to planting the seed, as it were, to point them to Jesus, like you were saying.
I think, too, in receiving the word of God or receiving the truth, mm-hmm. When we encounter a person of humility, in that sense, it's always attractive. Mm-hmm. When we are overwhelmed by even a personality of another person mm-hmm. and think that that's the truth, and then we sometimes get disappointed. Mm-hmm. So it's not about the person, it's about the message. And in Jesus, it's message and person together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's the, put it in human language today, it's the total package.
Right.
The person
uh-huh.
and the message go together.
And he's always welcoming us. And again, to find someone like John, who are several people in the line that follow after John. Of course, Isaiah leading up to John, and then John sets the yeah. bar for you and I and everyone to be able to point to Jesus and say, right. I'm not him, but he's the one
yeah.
that brings us all
yeah,
together.
Yeah, so in that sense, we all have a prophetic role.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, even looking at Isaiah, looking at John, Ezekiel, all the prophets coming before Mary, Joseph, I mean, they were always, their life was in service to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And even ourselves saying, you know, that we have a mission or that we have a service in the church to give, it's always in function of another person, mm-hmm. not in function of me.
Right.
In other words, I've not reached the top because I've been given a position or a ministry in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I've reached nothing
right.
except the point and the commission to serve. It's always about serving Jesus Christ, and that's what John is pointing to today in his message.
That's a beautiful message of having him lead our attention to Jesus as we continue with our Shepherd's View. In our next segment, we will continue our conversation with Bishop Michael Mulvey here on Our Shepherd's View, right here. We'll be back after this.
Quoting St. John Paul II, a society will be judged on the basis of how it treats its weakest members. And among the most vulnerable are surely the unborn and the dying. You're invited to join thousands of Texans at the Texas Rally for Life, Saturday, January 28th. Chartered buses will depart Corpus Christi, headed for the state capital in Austin. Those who believe in the sanctity of human life from conception till natural death are invited to participate in the event. Featured will be pro-life speakers and leaders from across Texas. For a schedule of events and more information, please visit texasrallyforlife.org or call 512-477-1244. Stay tuned to KLUX and KLUX.org for more information coming soon.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. We are here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this second Sunday in Ordinary Time, discussing this Sunday's Gospel according to John, talking about John the Baptist and his relationship to Jesus. Bishop, I did my reflection, was doing a little bit of wanting to know maybe questions that people think about, but maybe don't always ask. But were Jesus and John the Baptist, from a historical framework or standpoint, were they the same age? Were they, how far apart were they, contemporaries? Did they know each other? How did that work in terms of how we can relate to their relationship?
So if we follow the Gospel of Luke, we mm-hmm. find that Mary was conceived mm-hmm. Jesus and was told that her cousin, mm-hmm. her, we don't know if it's our sense of cousin, was it a direct relative? Somebody obviously that she knew
mm-hmm.
Was with child.
Mm-hmm.
This is obviously news that excited her. And so she went to Elizabeth mm-hmm. and stayed with her for 6 months. But the fact is, in Elizabeth, that child was known to be John the Baptist. The baby leapt in her womb. He recognized, and this is important for our reflection on John, that he recognized already, even in the womb of his mother, the Savior in the womb of his mother.
When he heard Mary's voice.
Right. So he heard this, her voice, and also the resonance of who was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was so strong. This is the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take that as a basis of their ages, then they were probably within the same year or a year later that they were very close in age.
Probably. Uh-huh. And in terms of them being brought up, is it possible that they knew each other even when they were younger or as they grew into their ministry? Because we know that Jesus began his ministry when he was 30 years old, or that's what they had. Approximately.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's all, you know, part of the hidden life of Jesus that we don't know.
Right.
Everybody wants to know.
Right, but, or makes an attempt to put the facts together and try and surmise it.
So,
from there.
You know, if you've made a pilgrimage, you know that where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived was in our Texas map is not too far from one another, but in the days of Jesus and Mary and Joseph, by foot, it was quite a distance just to walk. Even the fact that Mary walked there or however she went to visit Elizabeth was quite a trip.
Mm-hmm.
But I think probably, so I would doubt that they were together too often, but you know, I'm not one to say. But what I do want to say is that John most probably joined a group called the Essenes, which was a very religious group and wanted to stay true to the scriptures, to the prophets. And so they went to the desert. That's why when Jesus came to be baptized, he found John in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
He went out into the desert. And so John was a very religious person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting when we look at kind of the dynamics of religion today, we can in some ways become so convinced of our own religiosity that we miss the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
So John's group, the Essenes, were certainly searching for the Messiah. Probably many of them followed John in the discovery of Jesus. Others probably didn't. So it's not a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always, I think it says to us that we are always seekers. Even though we say, you know, I have this faith or I believe this, I'm part of this group, I belong. We always have to be looking for the more because Jesus is always more than what we perceive that we already understand. And so our whole life is looking.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that because John was that being part of that group was part of of an anticipatory group. Where's the Messiah? They were longing for the Messiah, and being in the midst of the confusion of the city, Jerusalem and other places, they felt confused. So to come out into the desert was to clarify that. And I know we're a little couple of weeks away from Lent.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that's what Lent is, these Essenes looking for. So going into the desert to quiet things down in their life, to avoid the distractions, to avoid the attachments to things so that they could see the Messiah in their midst.
Mm-hmm.
So John was part of that group. It's historically, I mean, and many scholars would say that he was part of the Essenes, which were in the desert around the Dead Sea.
As we frame this moment historically, thank you for doing that, I think it even makes that moment where Jesus is baptized by John even that much more dramatic. Because you're talking about someone that essentially they knew each other when they were in the womb of their respective mothers. And all of a sudden, here he is. And that moment for John being fulfilled, saying, he's the one that's going to follow me. He's the one that I'm pointing to. And here I am baptizing him. That moment of clarity, that moment of I don't want to say completion, but maybe a sense of completion where here's all the anticipation that we have been building up toward. We're pointing to him and he's here.
Right.
And that must have been something very, very beyond words to describe for John and everyone that knows the story.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you look at it, It's probably that Jesus was seeking John,
mm-hmm.
Because he already, you know, as God, as the divine Savior, he knew who the players were,
right.
In a sense.
He knew where he had to be.
He sought John, mm-hmm. and for the baptism at the Jordan, and where John was baptizing. So Jesus went to him,
mm-hmm.
Seeking him, and then asked to be baptized. And of course, we remember John said that it's not who should be baptizing you, mm-hmm. but I should be baptized by you.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus wanted to enter into those waters, mm-hmm. of baptism, also for the people there, but also for all of humanity, that the waters of baptism, which John says, I baptize with water, he will baptize you with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus wanted to make that step to enter into that liturgical, you might say, motion, mm-hmm. or moment of baptism. And his would be the baptism of water, repentance, but also of the Holy Spirit. So our baptism does not end with just washing away sin.
Right.
But empowering us with the Spirit of Jesus, who himself was baptized, so that we could be a witness as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's always a relationship, you know, even mm-hmm. all faith, all prayer is about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this story of John the Baptist and Jesus this morning kind of brings that out, that Jesus sought him, mm-hmm. and John recognized who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm. And again, like I said earlier, like for you doing that so well for us is putting it in perspective of where they were in terms of their ages and the time that they lived, and then this moment that it leads up to, and how John sets the tone for us to always point to Jesus too.
Right.
Which I think is a beautiful way of taking away the meaning of this week's gospel.
Yeah, and that's very much what our life as a baptized Christian, a baptized Catholic, should be, Catholic mm-hmm. Christian, or Christian
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be that, a life that points to. And that's why, you know, when people are looking for for an excuse to nail us on something, they'll say, well, I thought you were Christian, you know. So sometimes our life doesn't point to. So those are the moments that we point to ourselves, or we point to something else in the sense of how we're living. So it's important that baptismal experience of Jesus in the Jordan with John and with the community that was there mm-hmm. around him remains always vivid in our life, that we're baptized into the body of Christ to be members not only, but also have a mission like John to point to the Savior in our life and help people find Jesus in their life.
Thank you, Bishop, for that beautiful reflection on this week's gospel. We have a couple of items to remind people of going on. The annual Respect for Life Novena, 9 days for life, beginning Thursday, January 19th. That's something that we should consider being a part of.
And I think people can go to, 9daysforlife.com?
Yes, that is the website.
A lot of material and prayers and mm-hmm. to join in the effort to continue to pray for all life,
mm-hmm.
Because all life belongs to God. It's created by God.
And that leads us into the next quick item that we have here before we wrap up, the Rally for Life coming up at the end of January in Austin, the 2023 Texas Rally for Life. Buses will be heading from all over the state to Austin to convene there on the 28th.
Yes. You know, I've been to those many times. I don't know about this year if I can mm-hmm. make it, but... you know, it's what the way I see it, it's people of prayer,
mm-hmm.
people of faith, coming not to scream and yell,
mm-hmm.
but coming to speak to our elected officials, mm-hmm. and speaking to a secular world to say we believe in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that that's the spirit that is taken for. There's always masses that are
mm-hmm.
Around the city of Austin. They began with one church. I used to help out with that, but now they've had to multiply
mm-hmm.
because there's so many coming from different parts of Texas. But people of prayer, people of faith, people of conviction that come to witness to life themselves, but also to plead for the sanctity of life in the womb, and also the sanctity of life throughout a person's existence here
mm-hmm.
on earth.
Mm-hmm.
All aspects of life are sacred in the eyes of God, and we want to protect all of that.
And it's a beautiful display of unity as well, from people from all over together, as you said,
right.
peacefully
exactly.
Gathering for this.
It's a very moving mm-hmm. yeah, experience to be there. So I think you can check with the diocese here, and mm-hmm. I think there are some buses that have been prepared, but mm-hmm. also you can get in your car and
right, exactly.
go on your own if you want to take the weekend there and do other things.
There are details on the Texas Rally for Life at diocesecc.org that can be found there. And as we close today's program, Bishop, you have a thought or prayer to end the show with us today.
Heavenly Father, give us a respect for life and give us a respect for the life of Jesus Christ. May we always recognize that his life is before all else. If our life is grafted onto his life, all things are possible. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
January is Respect Life Month, and you are invited to join millions of Catholics and others nationwide in the annual Respect Life Novena, 9 Days for Life, Thursday, January 19th through Friday, January 27th. You can sign up at thenumber9daysforlife.com to receive daily intentions, brief reflections, and more via email or text message. You can also promote and share the novena using resources found at respectlife.org and usccb.org, where you'll have access to social media graphics, flyers, and more. Remember, if you missed the start of a nationwide novena, you can always begin your own personal novena at any time and right where you are. Again, the website is thenumber9daysforlife.org.